Hey guys. How many people knew that we were having a youth service this morning? Some people knew already? Cool. So if you already knew, you probably knew that somebody maybe would have told you that our topic was love. And the name of our youth service is what? Is love. So I guess that is what I'm going to be talking about, what love is. So ever since I was little, I was always told that God loved me. And all I ever heard was that God loved me, Jesus loved me, and that I was loved. And I never really questioned this idea of love until I reached high school. And when I reached high school, I started to struggle with making friends and fitting in and just finding my place. And I just started to question this idea of love that I was always told. And I started to wonder things like if God really loved me or if he really cared about me as much as I'd been told. When I think about it, though, I never really was told what love was exactly. I was always told that I was loved, but I was never told what it meant to be loved. So, what is love is the question today. And when I was doing this, to make it really simple, I made a list of all the things I could think of that love isn't, and I just chose like a few main ones. So, for starters, love isn't just a feeling. I used to think that love was just a feeling, and that if you wanted to love someone, you had to feel love. And I guess feelings aren't bad, but they come and go. And I only realise just now how crazy it is to say that our love would be based on a feeling. Our feelings are always changing and they can be confusing, and if our love is based on our mood swings, then our love probably isn't going to last very long. So I'm pretty sure that love has to be more than just a feeling. Love isn't just about sex either. And I think for the younger people in today's like culture, that's what we're told, is that love and sex are the same thing. And that sex can be used to measure how much you love someone or if you're in love at all. That sex is a necessary component in a loving relationship. And I think it's this kind of thinking that has changed sex from something that was created to be beautiful and glorifying to God to something that is now used to hurt people. And, like, sex isn't bad, but it was created for marriage. And I think if love is based on sex, then I wonder why sex outside of marriage leaves so many broken and hurting people. So love isn't just sex. I think that true love would wait to have sex. Love isn't about getting, it's about giving. So many people want to be loved. They want someone to tell them they love them. They want them to buy them nice things or to take them nice places or to treat them nicely. They want, and I think they become so focused on what they want that they don't realise how selfish it's all becoming. Sorry. Love isn't about what you get, and love isn't about the things other people can do for you. Love is about what you can give to other people, what you can do for someone else, without expecting anything in return. So love isn't about getting, it's about giving. And that's just a few things that I thought that love isn't. I had more, but those were the main ones I thought I would just talk about. But we're still left with the question, what love is. So I did the same for what love is. So love is a decision. Love isn't something that just randomly happens. Some people believe in love at first sight. But love at first sight, I don't think it can really exist. Because, I mean, feelings at first sight, yeah, but love, not so much. Love is a decision. So love is done on purpose. It's deliberate. You love someone when you make the choice to love that person. Chapter 30, verse 20 says, "You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him." So it's a conscious decision made that is followed by deliberate actions to show that you love that person. And that is leading on to my second point, that love is an action. It's a verb, it's a doing word. The Bible says in 1 John 3:18, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." So it isn't just something you can say. Love is something that when it is real, you should be able to see it in action. And love is honest and is truthful. And if somebody asked you a question and you knew the answer could hurt their feelings, would you choose to tell them the truth or would you tell them a lie? I think that love would always choose the truth. But love will choose to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15 says, "We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church." Love is 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, also known as the love chapter. I guess it's pretty obvious that this is going to be mentioned. It says, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance." Love is sacrificial. And a lot of people, probably teenagers, because I can only speak for teenagers, a lot of teenagers are obsessed with this idea of love. And I don't exactly see why, because it's just a little bit crazy because everyone just wants to find love. They're like obsessed with it. But I think that true love requires sacrifice, and we're not so obsessed with sacrifice because sacrifice hurts and it's painful and it's difficult. But sacrifice is the most important part of love. And if you really truly want to experience love, then you have to realize that true love does require sacrifice. So I've laid out a basic idea as to what love looks like. And so my question is to you today, do you believe that God loves you? There's this verse that Chloe read earlier, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, and it says, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He's a mighty warrior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." And the question is, do you truly believe that there's a God who loves you like that? Do you believe that there's a God who delights in you? And that's what it says, that God, the creator of the universe, delights in us. This doesn't even say love. See, a lot of us know that God loves us. A lot of us believe it. But a lot of us also wonder why God loves us. And we think it's just because he has to. But the word delight is a completely different word. Delight is very much a choice. He will take delight in you with gladness. And it's almost as if it's saying that God actually finds joy in delighting in us. God created you to be loved. The verse goes on to say that God rejoices over us. And the word rejoice can actually be translated to that he dances, leaps, or skips over us. And it almost gives it this sense of playfulness, this sense of actual joy that God reveals to us through this verse. Another version says that God exalts over us with loud singing. God sings, God dances, and God rejoices over us. And the question is, do you see God like that? For a long time, I was would answer and I would say that I don't really feel, I believe it, but I don't always feel like it. And you mess up and you feel like you've done some bad things. And you don't feel like you really deserve that kind of love. But Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." See, he calls you his own. And the one thing that you should hear today is that you are loved, that you are cherished, that God actually delights in you. Despite anything you've ever done, he dances, he skips, he sings loudly over you. The reality is that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus, his one and only son, to die for you as a living sacrifice so that God could finally have you as his own. And you know what? Even if you were the only person living on this earth, Jesus still would have come and died just for you. When Jesus was baptized, the Bible says that the heavens were opened and the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. And it says, "A voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." Now this happened before Jesus died on the cross. This happened before Jesus had fed the 5,000. This happened before Jesus had raised anyone back to life. This happened before Jesus had even started his 3 years in ministry. Before anything had actually been done, God was already well pleased with him. And my hope this morning is before you leave and before you head out into your week, and you've asked Jesus into your life, I want you to truly know and believe in your heart that you are a child of God, that God loves you, he delights in you. Psalm 17 verse 8 says, you are the apple of God's eye. You bring him great joy, and that he is already well pleased with you. And I just want to say that it doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or what you've done. It doesn't matter how big a mistake you've made or how many times you've screwed up. God looks at you and he loves you anyway, regardless of all those things. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you so much that he gave his one and only son to die for you. And so if you believe in him, you will not perish and you'll be given eternal life.